Thank you for reminding me. So again, there are three different ways to have guardians. One is a court-appointed guardian. Number two is a father-appointed guardian before he passed on. And number three is that the yesamim gravitate towards a person, and he becomes a guardian by becoming who he is, by being who he is, without any official appointments. All three have halachas of guardians, and some of the halachas vary from one to the other. So let's start the Mishnah. Yesamim shesamchu etu malabayas. The yesamim that decided to go gravitate, I can't think of a better word, I'm sure Archibald has a better word, by to a malabayas. Meaning, nobody appointed him, he became one by just being who he is, and they're around him. Rashi, to some way to Malabayas, lots of sapiv, to follow his direction. No, not the father didn't appoint him, nor did Bezin. Afilohi got Petrubus, who is considered an apetrubus. Chayav la'aser, or their father appointed a guardian. Chayav la'aser peritayan. He's obligated to take Meiser. Now, there's a double message here. He's obligated, and not only is he's allowed to, because it's really not his. We will see later on that a person can't take Meiser for something that doesn't belong to him. But over here, it is a special halacha, since he became the de facto guardian, that the Yesamim have to eat. So Chazal allow the guardian to take the Meiser, even though, biblically speaking, he's not the owner, right? They made him like an owner, so he's allowed to take Meiser. Apotropos shemino aviv yesayman yishba. An apotropos appointed by the father has to swear at the end of his guardianship. Let me explain. There's going to be a machlok. Usually, shvua only happens if there's somebody claiming a definite claim, right? We went through this. Somebody comes over and says, you owe me money, even though biblically there's only a shvua by a mitzvah of mitzvahs, but rabbinically they made a shvua even if the guy denies the whole thing. But there has to be a claim. Here, the assignment have no claim. There's no reason for them to accuse their guardian for pocketing money. However, Chazal said, at Takanah Drabanan, that the assignment can ask the guardian to swear. Now, that has, it definitely clears the air, meaning the Yesamim feel confident when they grow up, and they start managing their own affairs, that they weren't, nobody took their money. But at the same time, it's a deterrent for anybody becoming a guardian. Why in the world would I want to become a guardian when 5 years from now, after doing this unbelievable chesed of being a guardian, I'm going to have to swear that I didn't take anything, as if they're being accused of being a common criminal. Now, he's not being accused of being a common criminal, but still, the best is making him swear. So there's a machlokes tanoim when we make him swear and when we don't make him swear, and the Gemara will explain the reasoning for both. Tapatrapas and Beno Avi Yisraelim Yeshba, and Tapatrapas appointed by the father swears, Beno Bezin La Yeshba, but if Bezin appoints him, he doesn't have to swear. And Abishalai Mechiluv Advarim, he says just the opposite. By Bezin he swears, by a father he doesn't swear. Rashi, Yeshba, she Yigdulu HaYisaymim. Now Yigdulu here doesn't necessarily mean Bar Mitzvah. Yigdulu means when they become capable of handling their own affairs, whenever that is, that a person reaches the age that he can now deal with his own financial affairs. At that point, the guardian is no longer needed. Yishba lahem shein le biyadei klum mishalahem, should swear to them that he has nothing of theirs by him. La yishba, time in the hachpuk to mefarish b'gemara. The reason of this machlokes is explained in the Gemara. Bein lamar, ubein lamar, both opinions, that may tikkun ha'olam hu. It's a tikkun ha'olam not to make every apotropos swear. And the Gemara will explain one way, and the Gemara will explain the other way. What the Gemara did not deal with is the third type of guardian. What the Mishnah did not deal with is how about this is a non-appointed guardian. It's the assignment went and gravitated to this person who became a de facto guardian without any appointment. What is his halacha? The Mishnah does not discuss it. The Mishnah discusses when the father appointed him or when Bezin appointed him. The Mishnah did not discuss the third type of guardian who just falls into the position without an official appointment. So there is a machlokes Rishayim. Some Rishayim say, the Ramban, the Rashba, that everybody agrees he does not have to swear. He does not have to swear because there's no honor in this. Meaning, the Gemara is going to explain that each of these Mandi Amram feel that at a certain kind of an appointment, he won't be deterred by the Shua. But that's an appointment. Here, there's no appointment. Why in the world would a guy want to get involved in something? He was never asked to be appointed, and all of a sudden he's stuck with something and he has to swear. So the Ramban, they learn that we don't make him swear. Because here's a guy doing Yisraelim a favor. Nobody asked him, not the father, not Ben. And we're not going to make him swear because nobody's going to want to do it if they're going to have to swear. And the Rush holds the opposite way. He says over here, everybody holds he has to swear because there is no official appointment, right? So he doesn't have to do it. If he's doing it, he's doing it voluntarily, meaning he's volunteering without being asked. So he understands, or people won't do it. You know, it's not like we're asking him to do it. He's offering it on his own. So it's a machlokes Rishayim, what would be in that case? But the Mishnah doesn't discuss it, the Gemara doesn't discuss it. Dr. Gemara Rabbeinu, we're now going to the first part of the Mishnah. But the Mishnah says they can take Mr. Maishas, somebody can please meet themselves. Rabbeinu, Atum Beloy Shutzim, Atum Beloy Arisin, Atum Beloy Apetrapim, Atum Beloy Atayim Shayna Shulay. Tyra says you should separate your Truma. It says, Kain Tarimu Gam Atem. You should separate it. We learn from the word Atem, one drasha, that says, the owner has to separate it, which means one partner cannot the other partner share. Sharecroppers cannot separate for the owner's share. And guardians can't separate for the orphan share. And the general rule is nobody separates something that doesn't belong. So the question is, our Mishnah allows the guardian. That Bryce says guardians can separate. Amar Rav Chisda Leikash An Lahachu An Lahaniach. Yeah, there's a lot of noise, a lot of background noise. It doesn't bother me, but it probably bothers the people on the Kan Lahachu Kan Lahaniach. There's a difference between when they need to eat, so therefore, since they need to eat, they have to separate, but they can't eat without tevel being separated, the truma being separated, and the miser being separated. So we have to allow the guardian to do it. And one is to put away. They're going to put it in the storage house, right? They're going to put it in the storage house. So there is no reason for us to do the miser. There's no reason for us to do the miser. So put it away, and they'll do the miser when they get older. Now, what do they gain? What difference does it make if the guardian does it, or if they do it? So the Parshim speak out two Svaras. One is, whoever separates the Meister gets to choose which Kayan or Levi to give it to. It's called Tevet Hanah. You get a certain amount of pleasure, feedback, from picking the right Levi, the right Kayan. I mean, theoretically, somebody's father-in-law can come to you and say, I have a son-in-law, a Kayan, to give him Truma, I'll give you something. The Kayan himself can never do that. He cannot kick back. But a relative, a Yisroel, can kick back to a person for giving his relative Truma or Meiser. So that's worth something. So who gets that? The Apotropos or the Yisraelim when they grow older? Now we're talking, it's not going to get ruined. It's going to be put in a storage house. And it's going to be there when the Yisraelim grow up. Now what they need to eat, they need to eat. But what can be put away, there's no reason for us to let the guardian do it. Other Mepharshim say, why should anybody do the mitzvah for them? It's their mitzvah. So if they can, we can wait to do it later. Let's wait to do it later and let the person whose mitzvah it is do it. The Rashi. The Lo Shutzim, Ein Yochel Litrim Achel Mechaverish Lemidartoy. He cannot take Truma on his friend's chelik without the agreement of his friend. For that reason, achelka shabal habayis. The sharecropper cannot take the tumas and meisters on the share of the balabayas. Atem v'loy atayim she'en ishalai. So Rashi is bothered. All the first three cases were things that don't belong to them. So why do we say this fourth one? We said no partners, no sharecroppers, and no guardians. So what is the next one? The Rashi, atem v'loy atayim she'en ishalai, hach seifa time medereisha. This is explaining why the first three can't do it. Climber. Atem memayit atayim v'shein ishalai. Atem excludes the one who takes truma or something that doesn't belong to him. The hanikulu and all these that we listed, ain't ishalai nindu, are not his. That's one shot in the Gemara. That atem v'atayim is a general rule that explains why partners or sharecroppers or guardians can't take it. Inami d'atrashi. It means strangers. And there's no chiddush. The Mishnah is saying partners can't, and sharecroppers can't, and guardians can't, and for sure, other people can't. So according to the second shot, it's adding a piece that we can figure out on our own. If a partner can't do it, for sure a stranger can't do it. So therefore, according to the second shot, it's a zuva ein tzarach leim mezuk tani. And for sure the other one.
If everyone could please mute themselves, everyone could hear better.
I usually don't have all this background noise. It doesn't bother me, but obviously it bothers people on the phone. Mahachol, Yisaimim la'alter, chayavim la'aser. To feed the Yisaimim, you're mechuyev to give ma'aser. La'niach ha'tfuah ba'aser. To put it away in a storage house, atchi yagdilu, till they get older. La'malei yisuri. Why should we have the guardian take the ma'aser? When they grow older, they'll take the miser, and either they'll be able to pick their own kayin or levi, or they'll be able to do their own mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. Why should they lose out on the mitzvah? Now we're going to bring a brisa to back up this answer. Right? We had a contradiction. The Mishnah said, a guardian can take Meister. Brisa said a guardian cannot take Meister. The answer we're giving is it depends whether he's taking it for immediate use or it's being put away in a storage house. And now we're going to bring you Brisa that supports that answer. Latanya. Apatrumpim tarmin umaisim lahacho v'loy laniach. Guardians can take tumas and Meisters. To give the assignment to eat now, but not to put away for later. They can sell off part of the estate, whether it's slaves or maidservants or houses or fields or vineyards. If the assignment need to eat, and there's no cash, so to provide cash for the assignment, you have to sell off assets. Remember, Yisraelim can't earn their own money. They're living off their father's estate. They can't do business. They're not capable yet of handling their own business deals, just like they're not capable of earning their own living. So what happens is the guardians have to sell off part of the estate. So they're allowed to sell off part of the estate, lahacho, in order to give the Yisraelim to have money for food. But not to put away money. And Rashi is going to explain why not. If they're getting a fair price for it, why can't they sell off the assets of the assignment and invest the cash somewhere or put the cash away? That's going to be Rashi explaining. Rashi, so Rashi, Latanya ben Yichusa, it's a proof. Baichim lehem claim it with Tsarchim for their needs, Menechseim from their estate. Lahachel Hamoaz, to be able to have the money to give them to eat. Avloy laniach, and Rashi says two suaras. Either shemi yignavu, they might get stolen. Inami mishum shvach beit avien. There is a certain pride, a certain, what word am I looking for, an emotional connection to something that belonged to their father. Noi v'kavidu lahem. It's a beauty and an honor. To keep their father's land, their father's eved, There's a certain connection. There's a word for it. What am I looking for? I forgot already. It means it's a connection. And therefore,
sentimental.
I'm sorry?
Sentimental.
Sentimental. Right. There's a certain sentimental value to them. So why sell it off if it's not necessary? So Rashi says to Svaras. Back to the Gemara. Umaychum hamperis, yainas, shmanim, uslasas. Their fields that produce fruits and wines and oils and flour. Again, that can be sold off lahacho to provide them with food. If they need sushi, so you have to sell off the oil to get sushi, meaning to provide them with food. Avaloi laniach, again, not to just put away. Again, this is assuming it won't get ruined, because if it's going to get ruined, of course they have to sell it. If not, it's going to be wasted. We're assuming that these things can be stored. So it's not necessary to sell it. Why should we have the guardian sell it? Vaita. The Eisnil Hem Lulav, they can spend money to get the Yasim a Lulav, a Rava, Sukkah, Tzitzis, the Chol Davashi Ashley Kitzvah. They can get the assignment a Lulav, a Rava, Sukkah, or Tzitzis, or any other mitzvah that has a set amount, meaning it's not open-ended. Asliya Shafer, these things have a price. The Leichel Lehem, Sefer Taira, Trillin, Mezuzas, the Chol Tavish Yashle Kitzah. Again, these are long-term mitzvahs, as opposed to the first thing was short-term mitzvahs. This is long-term mitzvahs. Asliya Megillah. Ve'en Paiskin Aleim Tzaka, however, they cannot use the assignment's money to give charity, because charity is not a set amount. There's always poor people. It's a constant. The other things is a set amount. You buy one lulav a year. You buy one Sefer Torah that can last a lifetime. But tzedakah, unfortunately, is something that's constantly necessary. So there's no set amount, so we can't have guardians making decisions like that with the assignment's money. And they can't redeem captives, which is a bigger mitzvah, pidyon shvuyim. But again, unfortunately, happens way too often, and therefore, it's a davish ein lekitzvah, the whole davish ein lekitzvah, lansuya tanchum me'aveilim.
But a Sefer Torah, who makes that decision, even if the money's there, who makes that decision to buy it?
Everybody has to have a Sefer Torah to learn. The assignment have to learn. They used to learn from the Sefer Torah.
So you mean it's like in Brera over here, you mean?
Not your Brera. I don't know what you mean by Brera here.
No, meaning I was talking, there's no, I mean, in a place where there's Sforum, you could buy it instead. Like, who makes those decisions? The Apotropos can make himself? What kind of Sefer Torah to get them, this all kind of stuff?
We're viewing the Sefer Torah as today's Sefer Torah. We don't learn from the Sefer Torah. Those days, they learned Chumash. They didn't have Chumash from Princeton. Art school.
I understand. The kids, do they have any say in the matter at all?
Why should they? Who are they? They don't have ability to make business transactions. Somebody has to buy the Sefer Torah for them, so they should learn. How are they going to learn? It's like today, you would buy the Sforum he needs for class. They need it
for class. Let's say, for example, a pair of tefillin. You could buy it for $1,000, you could buy it for $500.
I don't know in those days whether they had different prices for these things. I don't know.
And Rabbi, is the katan obligated in tzedakah?
He's not obligated in anything. The part of training him is to get him involved in all mitzvahs.
He's obligated to learn. So that would explain the Sefer Torah.
Right, but there's not only a katan. We're talking about a 15-year-old who's not capable of doing his own business. That's what I started off saying. Apotropim are not only appointed we say katan and gadol here, we don't mean 12 and 13. We mean someone who's not capable of making business decisions to someone who becomes capable of managing their own affairs. Who makes that decision? I guess when the person grows into a position, he becomes capable of managing his own affairs. I don't know if a 14-year-old can make business transactions, is smart enough to understand it.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what age that would be, but it would have to be somebody, you know, when we talk about the concept of a yasam, who's a yasam? Unfortunately, everybody becomes a yasam in their life. Sometimes at 60, they lose their parents. Does that mean they're yasimim now? And all the halachas that apply to yasimim apply to them? No. A yasam means an orphan who's not capable of caring for himself, who's emotionally and intellectually not capable of handling himself yet. So he needs support. So the mashal is a special law of not to bother a yasim. That goes for a yasim who is not capable yet of running his own life. I mean, once a guy is a certain age, you know, inevitably everybody becomes a yasim. That doesn't make him...
So what age is this entire Gemara talking about? Is it no specific age?
That's what I said. I don't think there's a specific age when it says yasim. It means somebody not capable of caring for their own affairs.
I mean, that implies with multiple children, it'll be different ages that this
right.
person
now,
is...
See, what happens is the brother becomes the guardian of the family. The Gemara sometimes discusses the fact that the oldest brother assumes the responsibility. But we're not talking about the oldest brother now, because at least he's a shareholder and everything. We're talking about the stranger, guardian, who's being appointed by one of three ways, as we mentioned.
Okay. Thank you.
But like that called Davish Ainla Kitzva Lasuyan Tanchume Adelim. It seems when they used to go be Menachem Avil, they used to take along things. Now, this, you're not allowed to give Avelim gifts. These are not gifts. This is like, I guess, food or whatever it is when they went to be Menachem Avil. So you can't take the Yasim's money for that, because unfortunately that's not a set amount. Unfortunately, there's a lot of Tachumi Avelim. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, Tzedakah Ein L'Kitzva, the B'chol Shaita, all the time, Kaimi Aniyim, there's always Aniyim around. Nimtu Nixayim Kolim. They'll waste all their property. Their money will get wasted. Back to the Gemara. Ve'ena Petrabim Rishon Lodin Lochav V'Litzkas V'Nixi Yisayimim. They're not allowed to go to court to represent the Yisayimim if somebody comes to claim against the Yisayimim. Either when they win or when they lose. In fact, the Gemara Litzkas Amaylai. Why if they win? What would be the problem? Why can't they go to court if they win? It works. Dr. Gemara, Aloch of Amanas Liskas. What it means to say is they shouldn't go to court because if they lose, it won't count. Meaning, the Yishayimim can't lose. They can only win. So usually what happens is it doesn't end up in court. Because why in the world would anybody go to court with somebody and can only lose, right? They can't win. So once we say they can't lose, so usually they don't go to court. That's what happens. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, Lodin, in Baldin, was a litigant. Where am I up to here? Are you saying, Mr. Yisrael, my brother, Aaron, the same, who comes to argue about the estate? Shami is chayvu, but then they might lose. Well, the shiigdalu, that when they get older, I guess Simon, when the old Simon get older, yigdalu, I guess Simon, you die to imoy, they will go to court. Liska samayla, you die to imoy. If Donov and Nizdakwa, you Simon, I will have a dina. If they went to court and they won, what's wrong? That's why you're right. Elohakam, Ein Rishon, Lodin, Lochav, Amanas, Liskais. They can't go into court, either lose or win. If Donuk de Liska has been his chayvah, if they wanted to win and lost, and I used to send them. So what happens is, there won't be court cases. If a guy goes to court with the assignment, he knows he can only lose, can't win, until the assignment get older, so he might as well not go. That's the Gemara right.
Rabbi, if this, But if someone's trying to take advantage of them and he doesn't stop them, I mean, what does that mean?
I don't know what you mean by that.
Someone's doing something, and how do you stop if someone's trying to take advantage of them, and it goes to a basin or something? It's just, well, you shouldn't go to basin if someone's, you see someone's taking advantage of the orphans. The administrator's aware of it, and he can't bring it to court?
No, he can go to court to stop somebody taking advantage of them. He can't go to court to win a case. Somebody's coming.
Well, what's the difference? What's the difference? Look at this. They're claiming one thing, and he's claiming the other thing. So he's saying that this.
Again. Let's not make more of it than it is. Somebody's coming and claiming that the father owes them money. There's going to be a court case. We say wait till the assignment goes older. Don't take him to court. Nobody's taking advantage of him. The guy wants the case. He says the father owed him money.
And if someone's taking land from this kid, so
not the case. The case is somebody is coming to claim against the assignment.
Right.
We delay the trial, that's all. Nobody's taking advantage of them.
What if it can't be delayed? The guy's someone's using their land, aware of it.
Again, you're assuming something that never happened. Nobody can take their land. You go take
what
their
if they
land.
Did? I understand, but what if they did?
Your land.
I don't
understand. Apotropos is an adult. Nobody's taking your land. They won't take the land because Apotropos won't let them. We're talking about a legitimate claim. I have a legitimate claim. He wants to be paid. Tell him, unfortunately, the litigant is not alive. You have to wait till the assignment grows older. This has nothing to do with anybody stealing. They don't steal from adults. If they do, you go to Benton. The police. They not apotropim rishon limkub erachik v'ligo b'karav b'rav v'ligo b'yafa. The apotropim cannot make the following decisions. The assignment have a piece of land that's far away. So the apotropos says, I could sell that and buy them a piece of land that's closer to where they live. A lot of people do that. It sounds like a sound financial decision. Or they have a land that doesn't produce much. He can sell it off and buy a land that produces more. Again, sounds like a very sound financial decision. But it's not their money. And therefore, what we're afraid is, you can't let him do this. Why? My timer, or I'm sorry, because at my timer, the lemishtatzim, the field that they buy might get flooded. See, whatever they have, they have. When the apotropos makes a decision, every decision is a gamble. You can't gamble with somebody else's money. That's what the Brisa is saying. Yes, it sounds like a very sound financial decision. Most people will do it, but most people are taking a gamble with their own money. Now, Petropas is taking a gamble with the assignment's money, and he can't do that. Rashi? Dilma le Mishafkin. Rashi had a different Gersin. No, it's Vaiter. We'll see that Vaiter. Vaiter the Gemara. Veina Petropas Mishan Limka Sada Zulika Chavadim. They cannot sell fields to buy Avadim. Avamarkim Avadim Beloikim Ben Sadas. Because that's a sound financial decision that is more guaranteed. It's always better to have a field than an eved. Above them die. Fields rarely die. Rav Shimon Gamliel Eimer, Afloi Limka Avadim Likach Sadis, my time of Duma Lem Shafkin. You never know. There might be people arguing about the field. Again, Rav Shimon Gamliel says it's still a risk, and we don't have a trappist to take a risk with somebody else's money. Rashi, Duma Lem Shafkin, Layum Shukatis Etzmei, they won't be quiet. Or somebody will claim that the field is his. They cannot free Avadim, even if the Abbot has money that people gave him with a condition that the owner doesn't own it, which is a machlekes, but with this right to hold, you can do that. So the Abbot is a wealthy person, and he wants to buy himself free. The assignment do not lose anything, because they're getting paid cash. So the halacha is, they can't do that. You can't free an eved that doesn't belong to you because you don't own him. You could sell the Evet to somebody else if you need food or if you want to buy a field, according to the Tanakhama. Then the Evet can buy himself free from the other guy. Meaning, Abatrabim are allowed to sell when necessary. Free him is not even when necessary. Even when you need food and you're going to need to sell the Evet, you sell the Evet. You don't free the Evet and let the Evet pay you the money, because you have no right to free. Chazal, who gave the Apotropos this power, as if he owns the Evet enough to sell him, did not give him the power to free him. That's what the Tanakhama holds. Rabbi Eimer, Eimer Ani, who writes the Ve'atma V'yaitim, they should come back with life. Rabbi says, the Evet buying himself free is also a sale. We don't view that as freeing him. Yes, it is freeing him, but it's no different than selling him to somebody else. He's selling him to himself. Rashi? Even if the Yisayimim won't lose anything. The Avadim are coming to redeem themselves with money. That others gave them on the condition that Yisayimim have no permission. They don't belong to the Apotropos. Well, it's the benefit of the Yisayimim of Lahakel, in order to get them food, or to buy fields. Why would anybody free them? Rashi's bothered. You sell them to others and they'll free them. Well, who says they're going to free them? Look, Rashi, somebody is giving this Evet money to buy his freedom. So sell the Evet to the person who's willing to give the Evet the money and let him take the money and free the Evet. Right? Obviously, somebody's interested in freeing this Evet. He's giving the Evet money to buy his freedom. So instead of giving the Evet money to buy the freedom, buy the Evet and then free him. The Rashi, Aitzim Acherim Shai Raitzim Lassus Lamakasim Livdus Atzimam, those others who wanted to give them the money to redeem themselves, right? Hey, they can buy the Evet. The Kinuyim Lahem will belong to them. Ba'akach Yishachurim, and then they can free them. Aimarani, the Rashi, Rabbi says, Shem Shurishoam Lamakhan Acherim, just like they can sell them to others, they're allowed to take the money from the Evet, Atzmai, the Evet himself, the Tyrus Mechira, by selling it. So when you're allowed to sell the Evet, for whatever reason you're allowed to either to get food or to buy a field, you can sell it to himself for money. Dr. Gemar Mishnah, Dr. Bryce Devaiter, the Tzarech Lachshin Imoim Bachreina. At the end of the day, the Apotropos has to provide an accounting. It doesn't say a word about Shua. It just says they have to provide an accounting. Now Rashi says, Bachreina, Shiyigdalu Yechashiv Imahem, the Yishba, Rashi adds that word, and they swear, Shloi Nisho B'yadiklum. Now, it doesn't say which kind of an apotropos we're talking about. Doesn't say that, right? Right, so there are rishonim that say that doesn't mean a shua, because, let's read the next line. They don't have to provide a cheshbon. So the Rush says, the way Rashi seems to learn, it seems to be machlokes of our Mishnah, which apotropos swears and which apotropos doesn't swear. It's a repeat. The Rush learns we're not talking about Shua. We want to know, even if you don't have to swear, does he have to provide an accounting? Can the assignment say, we're not going to make you swear, but can you show us the books? So the Tanakhama says yes, and Rav Shimon Gamliel says no. In the case that he doesn't have to swear, he doesn't have to show the books either.
Is this apotropos we're talking about getting paid for his services?
Pashtus not, no.
He's doing it as a tovo?
Gemara will say it happens for one of three reasons. Either he owes the father a favor, so when the father asks him to be the guardian, he feels indebted to the father because the father did something for him, so he says yes. Or because it's a big covet to be asked by Bezin to be a guardian. That means Bezin views you as an honest, capable man. Or the Yisayimim gravitate to a guy because they like him and he likes them, and he ends up doing it as a favor to the assignment. Those are the three reasons anybody would become a guard.
But if he has to swear, won't that, that we had before, you know, the Tikkun Olam business?
So that's why the Mishnah said, that's why the Rashi said in the Mishnah, let's wait for the Gemara. The Gemara is going to talk about, is Shvua deterrent or not?
It may be a different deterrent. It might not be a deterrent like it was by the Shmitzia.
Why are we comparing? Why can't we wait for the Gemara to do its thing? Is that a special?
I love to be aggressive.
We can wait. We can wait. Some of us can wait.
Okay. Bye, Ted. Something commissioned by the writer. The ain how isn't a patrobim nashim avodim uktanim. Bezin never appoints women or an Eved Kanani or a cotton to be a guardian. They look for a male adult who's a free man. The minan avi yisayim emershos biyaday. That's if Bezin appoints them. But if a father asks somebody to be the guardian, he can ask his wife to be the guardian. He can ask anybody to be the guardian. Bezin tries to find people that understand business well, are free, are capable, they're not young, they're not katanim. Now, a father can ask whoever he wants. Rashi, Nashim, ain't darkim lusus with love of l'troyach. It's not common for women to be business people. Avadim, ain't an amanim. We don't trust Eved Kananis. Katanim, ain't an amanidah. They're not capable. But we don't intervene if the father asked the wife to be the apotropos. So he appointed her. It's not our business. Dr. Gemara Weiter. Ahu apotropos, David Bishavusud Rav Meir. There was an apotropos that was in the neighborhood of Rav Meir. Have a kamazman arata, the Zavan Avdi. That he was selling land and buying of other. He was doing what he's not allowed to do. He was the guardian, and he was selling off land and buying of other. But the Shavka Remeir, and Remeir stopped him. He said, you're not allowed to do this. Achvule Bechoma, they showed Remeir in his dream, Ani Laharois, the Atalivnois, that the intention is we want to break the estate of the assignment, and you're trying to build it up. Meaning, Minashamayim, they want to, Minashamayim, I just want to say it exactly the way the Yaquatim say it. Yamin HaShemayim, they want to break it up. The Marshal says it might have been acquired money through Ribbis or Gzela, or the assignment was Rishoyim. And therefore, Yamin HaShemayim, they wanted to wait, you know, make the guy lose money. So this Apotropos was just carrying out what Yamin HaShemayim they wanted. And the mayor got this in the dream that said, you're mixing into what we want to do. We want to break the estate. You're trying to build the estate. Dr. Gemara, Avalachi would ask, Rameir didn't care about his dream. My job is to do the halacha. My job is not to follow dreams. Menashemayim, they can do Menashemayim. I have to follow halacha. Halacha says I'm not allowed to let the apotropos sell off land to buy above them. I keep halacha. Now, the Gemara brings another story about Rameir. And again, it was something that is involving that he got a message from Hashemayim. So since both stories seem to have Rameir getting a message from heaven, we bring the second story in. Dr. Gemara, Hani betrayed the Igrubu Sutton. There were two people that the Sutton used to incite them. The Chol Beis Shimshi, every Friday evening, have a Kaminsu Bahadadadi. They fought each other. Every Friday afternoon before Shabbos, they fought like crazy. Ikla Rameir Lahasam, Rameir came. It doesn't say whether it was a husband and a wife. It makes it sound like it was two men. But anyway, Rameir arrived. Ikvinu Tlasa Beishimshi. He stayed there for three Friday nights. At the Ovid Lushlama, until he got them to get along, to stop this bickering and fighting every Friday night. Shomer the Kamar, he heard Menashemayim then saying, I guess he heard the Sutton say, Avvai the Avka Rameir who got from the Ibesi. Woe to Rameir kicked this man out of the house meaning that the sultan is saying, well, I got kicked out of the house because I can't get them to fight anymore. Fighting, the sultan loves when people fight. So therefore he tries to incite a fight. And now Rameir stopped the fight, so the sultan said he kicked me out of the house. Rashi, the chol beishim shishalai of Shabbos, shomei was sultan to come revive the afkimi beisei. Now, I don't want to give a shiur now in drush, but it's brought in Svarim that Friday afternoon is a very dangerous time for people getting along. Meaning, it makes sense logically, but in Svarim it's brought down that since Shabbos is a day of peace and a day of rest, the sultan works overtime to get people to fight on Friday nights. Friday afternoons, Friday nights, so they need to enter Shabbos not in a serene way. Now, it lends itself logically because there's a pressure for Shabbos. But even without that, the sultan works overtime to get husbands and wives and families to bicker and fight on Friday afternoon and Friday night. And because of Shabbos being a day of peace, and because of other reasons, whatever it is, the sultan gets involved. And that's why we do things on Friday, Lashon Bayis. We have Neiris Shabbos, Lashon Bayis. People shouldn't fight. That's the reason for Neiris Shabbos. Should be light in the house, because if it's dark, people bicker. He says that it brought down an halacha to sharpen the knives on Friday. They used to sharpen their knives, because when you have a dull knife, people get upset and they fight. So we do things on Friday to avoid fights, because it seems to be an opportune time for the sultan to create fights. So therefore, we bend over backwards, trying to keep the atmosphere peaceful, rather than have a tense, bickering, arguing kind of atmosphere. Dr. Gemara Weiter. Ahu apatrapas davin b'shuvas of the Rebbe Levi. There was an apatrapas who was in the neighborhood of Rebbe Shulam Levi. Rebbe Kamaz ben Arab is Aventuri. He was selling land and buying oxen. V'amar Levi Lemidi. And Rebbe Shulam Levi did not stop him. Why? Sabalak Rebbe Yaisi. Netanya Amar Rebbe Yaisi. I never called my wife wife and my shar a shar. My wife is my household. She is the Ikaras Habayas. Calling her wife would not give her the proper title. She deserves to be called by what she accomplishes. She keeps the house running. So I don't call my wife just my wife. I call her my household. She keeps my household going. I give her a higher title. Ashar keeps the field going. That's who runs the plows. That's who helps harvest. So therefore, I don't call my shar Ashar, not because the shar needs respect, but because it's not recognizing that the shar is the backbone of the field. So therefore, to Rabbi Shulman Levi, investing in oxen was a worthwhile investment, even if it meant selling off a piece of land, because the oxen make work, land work, and therefore it's trading in one aspect of a field to get something that makes fields work. So therefore, he didn't view that as breaking the rules of guardianship. Rashi, I don't know if I did the Rashi before, the Chol Beishim Shishalayim Shabbos, Shomer the Sutton, the Kamer, Vai, the Afkimi Beise, woe to me that I got kicked out of the house. The Ishti Beise, Shekol Tzarkei Abayas Ayodim Asim. She takes care of all the needs of the house. The Ikar Abaya, she is the Ikar of the house. The Chenshar, Ikra Shosada. Dr. Gemara Weiter. Hani Yasmi Davisamchi Gabe Hisafta. There were Yisaimim that gravitated to this lady. Meaning, she wasn't in the court appointed guardian. She wasn't appointed by dad. The Yisaimim gravitated to her. She became the de facto guardian. Havalu Tursam. They had a Shar. Shaklu was Vinta, she went and sold it to Nahalayu. She went and sold it to Nahalayu means she sold it for them. Atu Kraivim came to Rav Nachman, so the relatives came to Rav Nachman, Amale Maya visited the Zavna. Meaning, what right did she have to sell it? Like, who gives her a right to act in the assignment's affairs? Who is her? Who is she? Who does he think she is? Amalahu, so he told them, Yisaimim Shisam Chueta Balabayas. The Mishnah recognizes de facto guardianship. You're right, nobody appointed her, but the Mishnah said you don't have to be appointed. You can do it by automatic. The relative's taina is, who is she? What gives her any right? The answer is, by gravitating to her, she becomes a de facto guardian. Rashi, my avidit is of the mimina patrapas, who appointed her? Yisaimim shesam chutnan, the ava pishla nismana, even though she never got appointed, chashuvla patrapas, she's considered an apatrapas. Yisaimim shesam chutnan. Dr. Gemara Vaiter, Amrulay, but Vayakar, so they said, but it got more expensive. So we lost because she sold it off and the price went up afterwards. So he told them, listen, this is what happens. You sell something, the price might change. The price changed. Okay, so I'm not going to go into the next tomorrow. We'll leave it for tomorrow. Meretz Hashem, tomorrow morning, the same arrangement. I'll be on the phone. Meretz Hashem. Everybody should have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Remy. Is there an inyan to singe the Neiros before Shabbos? Is that a Kabbalah thing?
To do what?
When people that light the Neiros, the men prepare the Neiros and singe candle.
It's a Zayir. And Rabbi Kivagra Mishnayas is Medayakit in the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah says a person should tell his wife three things. Three mitzvahs that he should remind her. Nida, Chala, and Hadlaka Saner. So Rabbi Kivagra asks, why does it say Hadlaka Saner? Why doesn't it say Nida, Chala, Ner? Rabbi Kivagra, because Hadlaka, the preparation is done by the husband. So the Mela, she only lights it. So it's only Hadlaka Saner.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.